Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Amém, amém. Glória a God. Ora, Pai, em nome de Jesus, pedimos a tua graça uma vez mais, que tu possas abençoar o teu povo, fazer todos os acrescentos que tu queres para o teu corpo e todos nós sejamos abençoados. Só aquilo que vem de ti possa prosperar, é o nosso desejo, que tu nos guies em toda a verdade, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Amados, mais uma vez agradecemos pela vossa presença, sejam bem-vindos. Obrigado pelas vossas audições, pelas vossas orações. Vocês são uma bênção para as nossas vidas, pelo ânimo que nos dão em trabalhar para o nosso Rei. Hoje estamos trazendo um programa que não é nosso desejo fazer doutrina. Não temos essa pretensão, mas acreditamos que Deus nos abençoou com discernimento acerca das Escrituras e também da história das Escrituras. Esperemos que tudo aquilo que possa ser hoje falado vos alcance de uma forma particular e que vocês possam encontrar projeção na vossa vida para tomarem as decisões certas no que diz respeito ao Reino de Deus. Estaremos falando agora em inglês, dando as boas-vindas, como sempre vos digo. Temos muita gente que só fala inglês ao vivo, ouvindo o nosso programa, por isso, porque são extremamente fiéis e procuram absorver tudo aquilo que nós temos. Nós temos dedicado este programa de inglês, esperando que vocês entendam, que vocês se munam de alguém que vos possa transmitir também em português, caso não entendam tudo aquilo que está sendo transmitido. Que Deus vos abençoe e que todos nós sejamos abençoados. É o nosso desejo em nome de Jesus. Amém. Brothers and sisters, thank you once again for your blessed presence. Today we have the pleasure to be live again with you, hoping that we continue to be used to your prosperity in the kingdom of God. Not in the prosperity materialistically talking only, but especially in the spiritual prosperity. That's what we want to share with you, because if you are prosperous in spirit, in the spiritual realm, for sure God will bring you the rest and nothing will miss you. Nothing you will be left without. But God is the same yesterday, it's the same now, and it always will be the same. Man can change time, man can change technology, man even can change the Bible and the scriptures, but they can't change the Holy Spirit. They can't change the Word of God. Every word that Jesus spoke, every word that the God of Israel has spoken, will fulfill for what was said. So I was not going to do a show about this issue, because I thought that it was something coming from my imagination, you see. It was an issue that came to me some days ago and start making body in my spirit, in my mind. And suddenly I was taken by the Holy Spirit to investigate about this issue that I will be bringing for you today. And when I saw, I had a program, I had a show to do, to share with lots of information, that I come to realize that it was a purpose of God to bring this teaching to the brotherhood, to the warriors. So I hope that I will be able to be used by God to share with you all the things that God brought to my spirit. This is not a new doctrine. I'm not pretending to make a doctrine here. I just want to share a blessing. Everything that makes me feel good, well, that makes me closer to God, I have the commandment of God to share with my brothers. So if it makes me good, I hope that will make you feel good also and will lead you in the right decisions that you all, like me, have to make in our lives in concerning the Kingdom of God. So tonight I will start this show by praying again by our sister Right Brain Coker. I hope that storm will stop, or maybe already stopped, but in Jesus' name we agree that you are protected. The hands of our God is above you, your family, your house, and do not surrender to fear. Remember our first brothers, the apostles, on that boat, how our God, when he rose his voice, all the storms go away. So remember this. There is a God that is bigger than all the storms of our life. I hope that it doesn't come back. Okay. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, protect your children. And let all the teachings that you have, all the anointment that you want to bring today to the family. Nothing can be stolen by the enemy. Nothing will distract your sons and daughters here. Nothing of this world will stop the anointment from descending from our Father to his children. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you know, this show is called The Immortals, a Parable of the Kingdom. I have put the link on the chat room. I will put it again. It's about the additional notes. You can read these notes while we are going to praise the Lord for some time. And this will help you to understand what we are going to talk about here. But I want to advise you that this is not a doctrine. Again, this is just sharing something that make my heart happy, because it was something that I was afraid to share, because it's something that doesn't come easily, something that came one day and then I fought not to do the show, then God bring again, constrained me to look for links to investigate, and suddenly all makes sense for me. So I hope it will make sense for you. We will be talking about the immortals. For those that don't know what the immortals are, I will leave some links here that will help you to understand who are these immortals. What were they? They were an ancient warriors from the time of Cyrus. They were considered the immortals because they were very smart in battle. You can read on that link what they were used to do in battle. And they replace the dead guys and the sick ones, the hurt ones, so fast in the battle that the enemy start thinking it was impossible to win them. Because they killed some of them and then they were replaced so fast. And they take care of the bodies and the hurt ones. They took him out of the battle and take care of them, from those that were alive yet, that suddenly the enemy starts demoralizing because they start seeing the number would never decrease. So it was something created with the wisdom of God. There was another particularity about these immortals. They got this name because they got famous. If you remember, it was Cyrus the king of Persia, who destroyed the empire of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And God himself, God in the Bible, in the scriptures, talks great things about Cyrus, right? If you don't know, if you don't remember, I will put here the words of our God about this king of Persia, Cyrus. How God, he talks about Cyrus. It says in Isaiah 44, 28, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasures, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and the temple, your foundation shall be laid. So, even being not a Jewish king, it was Cyrus that was called the pastor of the Lord. It was Cyrus who decreed to rebuild the temple. You can check in 2 Chronicles 36. You can confirm in that passage that it was Cyrus who decreed the rebuilding of the temple. So we are talking here about a figure that, even not being from the descendants of Abraham, it was a prophetic figure in the project of God for the rebuilding of the project, the original project of God and his people. It was a very important figure. I don't think there are a lot of kings in the Bible that are called shepherd, my shepherd. And I think it's the only one that it doesn't belong to Israel that got this honor from our Lord. So you can see by this how important Cyrus is, and all the efforts, how good he was to the people of God. But more than this, I think that God brought me an understanding about this passage of these times of that are related on the scriptures that are quite connected with the times that we are living. Because these immortals, they had a double role on the kingdom of Persia, and later on the when the kingdom was mixed with the Media. These guys were a kind of bodyguards of the king. They were not only from Persia, they were recruited from all the territories of the kingdom, of the empire, become an empire after the fall of Babylon. This kingdom reached the highlands of Greece, reached the occidental part of India. It became the biggest kingdom already had upon the earth, the kingdom of the Persians and the Media. And these immortals were the kind of an elite warriors. They had two principal roles. They were the bodyguards of the king, and they were called to death battles. They were considered the dangerous battles, when the numbers of the enemies were big enough to scare even the mighty armies of this empire. They were called to death battles, to the front lines, to use their skills, strategies, wisdom to corrupt the moral of that mighty enemy. And changing the balance in the battles, they were the the towers of this great army. I will talk later about all the characteristics of these mighty warriors. But before we go to praise to God, I would like to leave you this. What God showed me is that when he was using this empire to bring the judgment to Babylon, as it was prophesied, God was not only delivering the people of Israel. God was sending a message to the body of Christ and to the real spiritual enemies that are the fallen angels, the evil spirits and Satan, that he would raise an army of immortals to be the bodyguard, the intimate of the king that would come, the spiritual king called Jesus Christ, Yahushua. And as the immortals, they should have some characteristics, so do the soldiers of Christ are being recruited and chosen between all the lands of the empire, because our Lord is Lord of all the land, of all the earth, of all the heavens. But we have to understand that God is the same God. And to become an immortal on this kingdom, we must prepare ourselves to dedicate all our life, to live with a whole heart dedicated to the sake of the kingdom and the king. Without this, we may be a soldier, may be participant of the kingdom, we may be blessed by this kingdom, but we will never be an immortal. We will never get that statue. It was the immortals that when the kings of Persia, they enter on the conquered land and they made that figures on stone. It were the generals of the immortal. They were entering with the kingdom, receiving the honor because they were so important for the king, for the plans of the king, that the king love to share with their generals, with their most prestigious warriors, all the glory of the conquered spoil. That's why you see that photo that I shared on the link with these guys with the robes and the arch and the spears, side by side with the king. And as Cyrus destroyed Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, removed that pride from that king and made him just a dead guy, so the immortals, the spiritual immortals, will be used by God, if they want, to destroy the spiritual Babylon that are upon us, that are surrounding us. So this is a message of hope. This is a message for you to understand how precious your life is to God. That if you are hearing this show, that's because God is wanting to prepare you, to deeply prepare you, to make you an immortal, an elite warrior of his host, his rank. And we will see what were the privilege that these warriors have by dedicating the life, their strength, their wisdom, their skill, honoring the king. So let's hear some music before we enter deeply on this matter, because I hope that you can feel how God is interested to raise your skills, spiritual wisdom, to finally decree, I will use you mightily to destroy Babylon. So God bless you. Let's fill our hearts with the blessings of our Lord. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey man, I have shared with you some links where you can get more details about these legendary warrior units, elite units that were raised on this Persian Empire and that were so important for the glory of this empire. These are the guys that helped to challenge the Greek Empire, only they were stopped because God had another plan. Because if it was not God to help Alexander the Great, maybe we were all talking Persian now. But anyway, what I like to emphasize is the connection of how God helped this empire to bring justice to Babylon. This was an empire that was raised by God and helped by His Spirit to bring the justice that the prophets prophesied against Babylon, against Nebuchadnezzar. These were the guys that destroyed, conquered Babylon. And this was the kingdom that built again the temple in Jerusalem. You can read it in the book of Ezra. I will make here also the link, the number of the scripture for you if you have your Bible. Check it. It says this: King Cyrus also brought out the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem and put in the temple of his gods. And Cyrus, king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of Mithridates, treasurer, and cast them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. This is the number of them: 30 gold platters, 1,000 silver platters, 29 knives, 30 gold basins, 410 silver basins of a similar kind, and 1,000 other articles. All the articles of gold and silver were 5,400. All this Sheshbazzar took him with the captives who were brought from Babylon to Jerusalem. So this was the kingdom that rebuilt the house of the Lord. These were the warriors that helped this king to bring the justice. And the question that God is today raising amongst us is: do you want to be used as an immortal to rebuild and to judge Babylon? Not the material Babylon, but the spiritual one, the one that is out there challenging God. God is recruiting. We, on other shows, have talked about that it was in this kingdom, the kingdom of Persia, that exists a figure on this court called the Inspector that points to Satan, the real story of Satan in God's kingdom. This Inspector was a secret spy that lived, was raised in the court of kings, was prepared as a spy to walk all the lands of the empire to secretly see what's happening. And if something bad was happening, he would know and he had to mission to report to the king. He was the investigator of conspiracies of the hearts of the people of the kingdom. And these spies, they also, when they see someone with greater skills, they would report to the court. And these were the ones that were recruited by the king and his court to become an immortal, an elite warrior. They were taken from their families. They were offered some rewards, and they were raised on the court of the king, trained to become part of these elite warriors. So I see on this kingdom a prophetic message in all to instruct the people of God of these days, you see? And it's not something new, because even Enoch says on his book that what he was writing was for further generations, right? There's a lot of lessons that are eternal, not only for that time. So we can see here how the eyes of the Lord, as it says in the scripture, they walk all around the world, all around the earth, to bring justice, to reward those who are sincere, and to punish those who disobey God. So today I will try to bring you a little bit of encouragement to understand your role, the role that you can have if you really want to serve and be Tamim, perfect, to Jesus Christ. And this is very, very important. It's not a matter of if you go to heaven or hell. It's a question if you end your life with joy, or you will become a victim of this war because you didn't prepare yourself. You didn't accept the invitation of the Lord. Maybe, and I'm saying maybe, you will have to throw away some extra baggage, some titles that were given by men that will make you like David when he went to fight Goliath. He couldn't handle that armor. He had to go under the anointment to win the giant. And it was with the weapons of shepherd that he fought and won the giant. If he tried to fight that giant with the armory and the weapons of the other king, he would certainly die. So I hope that you understand how deep is this calling. Because I will bring you, I mean right now, one scripture from the Aramaic Gospel of Matthew that was the first and is proven historically with the works of the church fathers that the Gospel of Matthew was first written in Aramaic and Hebrew because it was the language that their people were using that day. Only later comes the Greek translation. So this was the first gospel, and all the church fathers talk about this book, okay? I was graced by God to have a copy, and I posted on the link of the additional notes what is the real, not corrupted, call of Jesus Christ. I will read it for you if you don't want to go and check by yourself. But it's there in English. There is a link there to the complete document. You can read the last gospel to the Hebrews. It is based on the book of Matthew, the Aramaic book. It is a reconstruction of the gospel that we have in our Bible that comes from the Greek translation, with all the scriptures that the church fathers wrote about it, that were taken from that original gospel. And you will see in Matthew chapter 10, from verse 37 to 39, when Jesus says this: "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of being with me in the kingdom of heaven." This is Jesus' word. And this part is also in the Greek translation. I will repeat: "And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of being with me in the kingdom of heaven. And he that take not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." And now this is a part that was taken from the Greek translation. They didn't put it. Or maybe it was there and later they took it. Because Christ continues and says, "Behold, I chose the ones that are more worthy, and are more worthy those which my heavenly Father has given me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." So this is a small proof of how corrupt, how changed is the Bible now. This is a proof that when I say that I don't worship Bible, I worship the Word of God, Jesus. Because the Bible is a map to the truth and to the Word of God. The Bible contains truth of God in there that will make us wise to find, to search for Jesus, and to start having an intimate relationship with the living God. Even when God spoke to Joshua about the book, he didn't say, "Worship my book." He said, "Meditate on the book all your day, all your night." For someone to meditate, he needs to use the brain that God gave him. It's not an irrational faith. We have to read it on the context and with the right limits. Because if you say, and if you are programmed, as I was, that the Bible is the Word of God, you are reducing Jesus Christ, the living God, to a book. And you can say, every time that came the Word of God to some prophet, you can say that the Bible come to the prophet. And it is there was no Bible there. So what was the Word of God? The Word of God was the presence of the Spirit of Yahushua, Jesus the Christ, bringing in a relationship that he created with those special men to bring his direction, his orders, and they obey. So please understand this. I love the Bible, but I love more Jesus the Christ, the God of the Bible, the God of Israel. So I am very grateful to the Bible, but I am more grateful that God preserved some truth, even Satan trying to change so much things, trying to corrupt, to program you with neurolinguistics. But there is a remnant that will crush the plans of Satan, the Babylon that is installed on the body of Christ, that will bring again all the articles of God to the right place in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord that are we, not buildings, not names of institutions, that is a living body formed by people like you and me, like these immortals that were born, lots of them, in humble families, farmers, but that the spies of the king noticed them. They were good riders, some were good archers, some were good with swords, some were very strong, and they report to the court, and the court rescued them and gave them privilege to serve on a special way the kingdom and his king. One of the characteristics of these immortals is that they were very skillful in various kinds of weapons, not only one. When they went to a battle, they were carrying a bow, a sword, and a spear. In some cases, an axe. They were prepared to fight from range to face to face. They were prepared in all kinds of fights. And today, my brothers and sisters, nobody can say, my call is just for this. My call is just for singing. Because if you go on the street and you see someone with hungry or cold, it's not your singing or your tithe that you gave to the fat pastor that doesn't need any more of your money that will give glory to God. If you close your eyes and sing a song to that guy that needs to be fed or clothed, that guy that needs a word of testify, more than a word, an action of a Christian. We are called to pray, to send our heralds to the enemy. But we are also called, and God put us on battles, that we have to face the enemy face to face with the sword, with a testimony, cutting all the arms of the enemies, all the ropes, all the chains that bound that soul and need a help of a real soldier of Christ. We are called to fight in a lot of battles, and not all of them will be won with the same kind of weapon. As a servant of Jesus Christ, we must learn with him. And even Jesus did not heal everybody the same way. He didn't take care of all the situations in the same way. Sometimes he tested people to receive their blessing. Sometimes he was gentle. And sometimes Jesus was very harsh. For example, like to the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the mammon worshippers. And there's a lot of them, these guys as followers of Jesus Christ. So don't come to tell me that we have to love them by keeping, hiding their error. We have to be like our master. If you are willing to follow Jesus Christ, and not being a robot of this Babylonic system that is replacing the real kingdom, the real spirituality of the kingdom of God inside of you. Sometimes we have to be harsh and to hurt people with the truth. And we cannot be afraid of telling the truth, because that will turn against you in the eyes of the Lord. These immortals, they were not using very heavy armor. They were using large pants. They were using some robes. But inside, there was an armor. That's why the enemies sometimes were surprised. They thought it would be easy to kill them. But when they hit them, it was like they were of metal. And even if some of them would fall in the battle, they had a strategy of replacing them in the field of battle. If some of them was wounded, there was almost immediate two that would take him to the right side, to the back part of the front line, to be recovered. And immediately it was replaced by a reserve, because they were divided in 10,000 unities of each of the immortals' unity. There were 10,000 of them, 10,000 men. But there were more 5 or 6,000 on the reserve, because there was a strategy there. The enemy start calling them the immortals, because their numbers would never go down at the eyes of the enemy. They kill some, but when they look for the battlefield, it seems always the same number. And this is called mind wars. This is what Satan is trying to do with us, seeming more powerful than he really is. But you see, God was the first to use it to bring judgment under Babylon with this kingdom, with these immortals. They were smart. They changed their places on the battlefield. Sometimes they were used first the archers. Sometimes it was another strategy. But the real lesson is that they were using a work that was not based on the ego of each other. They cooperate with each other. On a day that some guy was down, comes another to take his place on the rank, to do what he was doing there. That's why they won so much battles. They help each other in the battles. They do not compete to see who was the richer. And these guys had the privilege to keep their spoils. These guys were the ones in the mighty harm of the Persians that were going through battle with a caravan of servants, concubines, who took care of them before, during, and after the battles. It was a privilege given by the king to the elite immortals. So, as you can see, God knows how to take care of those who are completely compromised with him. This is the calling for you, and this is the calling for me. This was the calling of the apostles. Do you want to be my immortal? Do you want to be my elite warrior? I will not hide you, that is dangerous. But you will be more protected the closer you are with me. This is what a lot of Christians don't understand. They trust in men. They trust in titles. They trust in money. They accept the quicker solutions. But how is your intimacy with the Lord now? As the men, as the congregation, as the family or the job took so much of your energy, your time, that your spirituality is falling? How long don't you have a real experience with the living Father? Remember what Jesus said. If you want to be perfect, sell everything, go give to the poor, and follow me. The word perfect is the same word that God spoke to Abram. Walk in my presence and be perfect. It's the same word that saved Noah from the flood. It means tamim, complete. It means blameless, humble, simple, honest, sincere to him, open, 100% open. This is the same call. What is the area of our lives that we are not tamim to God? That is the area that will bound yourself, that will delay you on this world to be saved. The things that we don't deliver to God, put on his altar and on a sincere decision, understand that it doesn't belong to us. It was given to us by God. So we must give him back. Will be the thing that Satan will require, because it was our decision not to give him back. To God take care. Can be a son, can be a job. But remember, it's an idol. It doesn't make you tamim. It doesn't glorify your Creator who gave you that thing. That's why sometimes when we lose these things, it hurts so much. Because they were taking the place that only the Creator deserves the first place, the source of all the blessings. I hope this will help you to understand that these immortals, they live for the sake of the kingdom. While there was strength in their arm, they lived to fight. They knew the price they had to pay, but they have privilege that the other soldiers did not have. They had made a decision to live and to protect the kingdom and the king. These soldiers, they had different weapons from the rest, while the other weapons were of wood and steel. Their spears were from silver. And you know that silver It's a symbol of salvation in the Bible. Jesus was sold by 30 silver coins. The most spectacular thing that I found was that the generals of the immortals, they had another kind of spear. They had a spear with which the point of the spear was in gold. And you know that gold, when Jesus in the Revelation speaks to one of his church, advises that angel, that pastor, to buy gold refined in fire to see his nakedness. He was trusting, he was rich, but he was naked at the eyes of the Lord. He was trusting in the richness of this world, like so many now. God was advising him to buy gold, power of the Holy Spirit, gold refined gold. And that's what a lot of people need. These generals, they had the spears, which the point was in gold, because they had power to decide the destiny of their soldiers. These were the generals that were engraved when they entered the conquered lands, and all the artists were working to testify the victory. These were the generals that were entering and defiling with the king, because they had power to take decisions. They had the trust and the honor of the king. They were faithful to the king. They only answer to the king. They don't answer to any man. And this is the power that you need to take possession now. This is the power that you need to understand that is now or never. Or you will to destroy this Babylonic system, this fake Christianity based on metal, based on money, and these wolves that are agents of Satan, that Satan has found place on their hearts to deceive, to steal your spirituality, or you will be conquered. You will become their servant. Do you want to be an immortal? Not from Persia, but from the kingdom of Jesus. Do you want to become an elite? Do you want to enter the New Jerusalem in its cities of gold, side by side with your king? Or do you prefer to risk your destiny and to not have this privilege that God gives only to those who follow him very closely? In any circumstances, these generals would change their mind, because they knew what privilege this king has given to their life. Thousands of soldiers in the field of the battle, in the middle of the desert, hitting dust, and one of their garments was a sash that protect them from the sands of the desert. They were not carrying heavy armor. All was light, and they had enough protection to deceive their enemies and becoming called immortals because they had the spirit of the prophecy. This was a prophesied kingdom that would bring the destruction of Babylon. Do you want to belong to this rank? You need to understand that it's your decision. You cannot surrender to the fear that Babylon tries to provoke in all these kingdoms. We don't walk with fear when we walk in close relationship with God, Jesus, His Holy Spirit. Even when He sends us to the desert, to real battles, He will be there. If you decide to resist the offering of Satan, then He will bring the provisions of His own kingdom. He will bring everything you need right in the desert. Before you leave the desert, the angels will come to provide you everything that you resist the devil and these offerings. When you were in the tribe, when you were in the most needed day or night, when Satan brings and tried to negotiate with you and changes the scriptures to convince you that it is the best offer. But God never sends us to a battle to be a loser. He sends us to be overcome. But there's a part that is our, that we must do first. Resist the devil. Do not surrender to the circumstance. And praise the Lord. Then all the chains will be broken with the provision of God. These men, they all went to the battles with everything they need, while others, they need everything because they were not chosen to be the immortals. I'll be right back.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
and
break every chain.
Break
every chain.
Break
every chain. Come on, say it.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an arm. There's an army rising
Oh,
That's true. Do not stop the children come to me, because of them is the kingdom of God. That's true. We only understand the mysteries of the kingdom when we return to the Tamim, to the perfection of a child. It's so good to understand this deep inside of us, to depend on our Holy Father for everything, to believe in Him even when He says no, even when He says stop, even when He orders something that we don't understand immediately. You see, my brothers, I was talking with God to not to do the show. I had a lot of excuses. How am I going to talk about the immortals? I am still fighting with the pain in my arm. I am tired of praying. There's a lot of people praying for me and it seems not to end. And I saw how God all this day practically puts me on his shoulder, and he did all this for me. How he convinced me. He didn't force me. How he convinced me. You're a teacher of the others, and now you're in the fight. You want to stop. And side by side, scripture by scripture, God made this show, gave me the joy to do it. It's incredible how my pains are gone now. It's incredible how I forget all the pains that I was having all day, now that I'm speaking with you. You see, even when it's something from God, when it's prophesied, God will allow the enemy to try to stop us. How we show to God that we are really compromised with Him, not with our body, with our comfort, with other men. I am doing this show because I want to please my King. I receive this blessing of this instrument to help the other ones. not only to receive something from the other, but to give also, to offer help. And by the feedback that we are having, especially from you guys that come to the chat room and give us so much message of comfort, how can I say no to the Lord just because I'm not 100% healthy now? You see, even being a project of God, the destruction of Babylon by the kingdom of the Persians, the decree of Cyrus to rebuild the temple, there was fight to stop this project. Who tried to stop it? You can read it in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, how the enemies of the people of God, they used several tactics to stop the reconstruction of the walls and the temple. How they tried to provoke fear. How they send letters to the capital of Persia, accusing them of trying to revolt against the king even more. How they tried to infiltrate the reconstruction, saying, let me reconstruct side by side with you. And what was the discernment of that man with the anointment of God? They come to corrupt us. They come to infiltrate and to stop this construction because they don't want the project to be fulfilled. They want to stay with their own kingdoms. That's where God's provision brings salvation. It was not Nehemiah. It was not Ezra. It was the anointment of the Holy Spirit above this man that showed them the real intentions of the hearts of these people. Those that were sent by the king of Babylon to live there. They don't want that reconstruction because they were having a good life in the land of the others. There's a lot of people there preaching a gospel of sacrifice for others and having a great life with the sweat of the body of the sheep, changing scriptures from context, mixing law with grace to live with the money that the others work to earn, saying that is a Christian thing when the Lord they say they serve never did it, never ordered to anybody. So you cannot blame yourself if you let these infiltrators control your spiritual life, control your money, control your mind, because the immortals are being recruited to work together for the sake of the real king, the only king. It's not a king of confusion, of fear, of deception. It's the truth, the way, and the light of this world. You cannot blame anybody if you choose to enter the ranks of the other kingdoms. Because tonight you heard a message from the King of Kings still saying, I choose the best ones. I choose from those that God the Father sent me, that are tamim to me, that just want my yoke, not another yoke. But if you decide to live in fear, in prison, in deception, if you are afraid to confront them because you think you are alone, like the prophet thought he was alone. He just could see the truth when he heard the right voice, the very gentle voice of the Holy Spirit saying, come out, don't hide yourself. There are 7,000 like you on the land that did not worship Baal. You're not alone. Just make your time valuable. Make your life valuable. Do not waste your life in the wrong sites, with the wrong voices, with the wrong people, that you have already tried to show them the truth, but they doesn't love the truth. It's our decision, you see. It's our decision what we plant. Because what we plant, we will receive back. If you plant deception, or if you help to plant deception, then don't blame that you are deceived. But if you plant truth, if you plant freedom, if you bring light to the others, you will reap the same thing. Because it's God that will provide you. This is the message that God has brought to us. It's not a doctrine. We don't become immortal when we accept, when we go to the front of the altar and bow down to a man and say, I want Jesus. It's something that you have to prove all your life and not to men. It's something that you have to continuously prove to God, because Satan will not stop until he makes you stop looking, loving, and serving Yahushua, Jesus the Christ. Don't think you will live here a vacation once you really compromised with Christ. You became a target of Satan. He will try to kill you. He will try to disencourage you. He will try to deceive you. And this tree, the dangerous one, is the deception. Is the things that he knows he can touch you, because you did not give it to the Lord. He will challenge you with that thing. What happened to Job can happen to you. This is the real gospel. The good and the bad things. There will be no promotions or those who are not tamim to God. Satan will always try to stop you to be an immortal in the kingdom of Jesus. He always will try to steal your privilege. He always will try to make you fall and die on the field of battle. He is the enemy. He decided to be, when he thought he could be smarter than God and tempt Adam and Eve without the permission of God. That's when he became an homicide. He didn't remain in the fruit of the kingdom. He deceived himself, thinking that he could use the free will of Adam to become what was not created for, a God. He was a servant, a very privileged servant. He had the choice that you had now to remain faithful. But he take the risk. And with that, we know the end that we will have, that he will have. There is no more repentance to Satan. And the angels, they kept not the first state. The same temptation that he deceived that creature that was used by him to make the fall of Adam and Eve, the serpent. That serpent, when the heaven and earth will be recreated, will keep hitting dust when the lion and the lamb will walk together. The serpent will keep hitting dust. And Satan and his angels, we know where they will go. But for you, there is a chance to become an immortal. You may be thinking, oh, Brother Jose doesn't know where I am. Brother Jose doesn't know my family. Brother Jose doesn't know how corrupt is my congregation. Brother Jose doesn't know how I am sick. Brother Jose doesn't have the same boss that I have. Really? I left jobs when I was praying to God what I should do when Satan was trying to force me to lie, to steal in jobs. And if I would follow the doctrines of my congregation, I could never leave one job without God giving first another door. So I would stay there until I lose my salvation. Because God has already given me dreams to get out of there. As he called Abraham without showing where to go. Just leave. You see? Who will you hear on that day? Your pastor? Your congregation? That only cares about your tithe? Or you will have faith to follow the dream that God had already gave you? Oh, but I am sick. But God gave you a dream that show you healed. Do you have faith to resist your body? Do you have faith to say to the pain, bigger is the one that is with me? Nothing is impossible for those who believe in the power of God. Do you need to touch first to believe? That is there. It's on these trials that you are becoming an immortal, that you are becoming an ET for the religious guys. You will not be heard by a lot of people. If you think that you will be famous by preaching the real gospel, the gospel of the cross, not only the gospel of the glory, you will be disappointed. Because it's only a remnant that will understand. Maybe later more will come, but they are not ready. And even if you try to save some of them, to warn them, they will demonize you. They will say that you are being used by Satan. Because they are blessed. This happens to me. When I debunk something, even on this day, the first thing that I hear is that I am being used by Satan.
because I am calling those preachers, those reporters, to the reality that they are being used not to spread good things, but fake prophecy, fear-mongering the people, diminishing Jesus to this world and helping Satan to deceive all the world. I lost the count on these last years how many times the world will end, Third World War. It was in Syria. It was in North Korea. It was in Egypt. It was in Libya. It was in Ukraine. And even so, these guys that start being used by God, but had permit the infiltration of the agents of the enemy to corrupt their sense, cannot understand. They had decisions to make now. Which agenda will I promote? What am I going to sell now? The real gospel or the gospel of the gold and the guns and the survival products? I am not against these things. If I have to use a gun to defend my family, I use it. Don't mistake me. You can do bad to me, but if you touch one of my family, sorry, that's my duty. You can touch me, and I hope that God doesn't forget me. But if you touch my wife, my mother, or anybody, it is my duty. I am not anymore under the spell of these guys, you see. I have written inside of me what are my responsibilities. As a husband, I have to give my life, if necessary, to defend my wife in the eyes of God, even if I have to use a gun. So I am not against, or don't mistake me, I am not against or those that want to keep their guns, you see. If it's a right, you cannot change it until God wants. But also, there's a lot of people with guns doing bad things. This was not something that I want to talk here, but it can. I just want you to understand that in this smaller thing, there was a lot of infiltration that are trying to steal all the good things that a lot of people that I care have done to us, helping to see things that on the church we could not ever see. But now there was a plan organized by Satan and his agents to steal the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when I go to the internet at night, it's difficult for me to grab a show where I feel that I'm being fed by God. I can only hear about ET. I can only hear about Obama. I can only hear about Illuminati. I can only hear about that thing. It's important for us to pray for our brothers that have been entangled on the spider web to free and to help them to see that it's not with gold, it's not selling guns that we will prevail against Satan. It must start in our heart to say no. Say no to the fear. Say no to the seductions that Satan is trying to improve, because he knows that the last Babylon will fall soon. They know his time is short. Their time is short. They are targeting, they are targeting us with all the last bullets. But those who become immortals, they don't change their minds. They go until the end with the King. And this is the truth that will free you completely from this world. This is the real truth of the Kingdom of God. Heaven is only real if you enter there and you find Jesus there. Otherwise, it's just an illusion. Heaven is only heaven if Jesus is there waiting for you, to walk with you, to enter with you in the golden city, in the streets of gold, where your name will be completely and forever engraved with golden letters in the book of life of the Lamb. Until there, you need to battle. You need to be vigilant, because Satan is a loser, that is a powerful loser comparing to us. He is much more smart than us. He is a being which the only happiness can get is it is if he can take the most people he can to his destiny. It's not for you. It's not for me. Hell is real, but it's for the fallen beings. And you, my brother and sister, you are called not to be a Nephilim. Even today, God is calling you and saying to you, come, be an immortal in my kingdom, and I will provide you everything you need to be faithful until the end. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Hope this show will bring you courage. Hope that God will fulfill you with the Holy Spirit and joy that I am feeling. And if God permits, let us meet ahead on the path. God bless you all. Stay blessed.
Mm-hmm. is the story of the Son of God hanging on a cross for me. But it ends with a bride and groom and a wedding by a glassy sea. Oh, death, where?